You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Matt Recap News on Friday, the 10th day of the 10th month of 2025. So sharepickers.com. By the way, I've just been reading an interesting article on the BBC from Zoe Kleinman. In fact, we follow each other on LinkedIn. No, X, it is now Twitter. Tech billionaires seem to be doom prepping. Should we be worried? They mentioned Mark Zuckerberg building a sort of ranch in Hawaii, spanning some... In fact, it's an underground space bunker, 5,000 square feet. And also, this is quite a worrying thing. Reid Hoffman of LinkedIn is doing it as well. But this guy, Ayla Satskova, chief scientist and co-founder of OpenAI, he said, we're definitely going to build a bunker in our house before AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. This is the point at which machines match human intelligence. Are they worried that the robot's going to take over? I've just been watching some videos on robots online, actually, and how they're sort of infiltrating the workspace, especially in China. In China, there's police robots. It's phenomenal, isn't it? And because of this, and in fact, I was listening to an interview by Jim Mellon on Master Investor. Worth checking that out. And he's convinced robotics will be everywhere. I mean, they will. You know, robots, they're cheaper, they work harder, they're more efficient than humans. And so get the stage where they'll be doing most jobs. So I did take a position in a robotics ETF. In fact, do you know what? I think I bought a position a while back, and I should have held on to it because it's gone up quite a bit now. But it's worth checking out the sort of economic dynamics of this. But artificial general intelligence, it's the intelligence of a human being. Which human being? You know, if it's the guy I pass in the high street that, you know, is sitting on the floor playing harmonica, I don't mind. If it's, you know, sort of Sam Altman level, then we need to be worried. But will it be a thick human or a clever one? I talk about thick, you know, machines. Every day for the last month, in my spam folder, right? I guess every day in my spam folder, an email goes in there. It says, final warning, all your photos will be deleted from your cloud in 24 hours. I've had this for a month now. Surely this spam can only be sent once or twice, and that's it. The effectiveness of this spam goes down over time, you know? I mean, surely it's most effective in the first 24 hours they send it. If I haven't taken action now, a month on, I'm not going to be doing it anytime, am I? So that's, I mean, I assume they're bots are doing that. But it is worrying if you watch that iRobot and all that stuff taking over and stuff, isn't it? But I don't think that'll happen for a while. But you never know. With artificial intelligence, the learning becomes exponential, doesn't it? So how fast will this adoption take? I think it'll get quicker and quicker. You'll see, I mean, we're already, autonomous vehicles are robots, essentially. And they're coming to the fore. And you can use that kind of intelligence in any robot. It's going into construction, all that stuff. So it's worth, I think, having a small position in robotics, or a big one, up to you, really, depending on your risk. But it's happening. It's creeping slowly towards us, isn't it? The workplace is becoming more autonomous, more robotic. Let's have a quick look at the markets there. Today, Friday, it's, as I'm recording this, it's 12:30. Start off with the FTSE 100. It's flat, 9,510. Wow, will it get 10,000? I think it will next year. Interest rates coming down, it'll get 10,000 for 200. S&P yesterday was down just under 31%, first time in a long time. All-time highs the day before. Same with the NASDAQ, it was down just almost flat. Where is the Russell? The Russell was down 0.6% yesterday. What are they forecast to be today? Let's have a look at the futures here. They are a little bit up. It's relentless, isn't it? The higher they go, I've been looking, this is quite boring for most people, but I've been going back 30 years on the S&P 500 and recording every 5% drop. When it happens, you know, when the bottom happens, so you get the average amount of drops, the minimum 5%. And it happens quite often, on average, 120 days. And we're now at 232 days since the last 5% correction. There was 2 years from 2005 to 2025, where there was no 5% drop. And that was in 2005, 2017. But because of that, and it hit several all-time highs, the preceding year had several big drops. So that's the way the markets happen. I'm not saying this to be scare anyone. There's always opportunity after a correction. Always. The bigger the correction, the bigger opportunity, full stop. So I'm just saying, when are we likely to have a correction next? It's hard to, you know, bull markets can go on for extended periods because, of course, money just flows in the market. I mean, look at gold. It's having a little pullback. It'll probably go back up. But money keeps flowing in. You know, rising stocks attract money, attract buyers. Falling stocks attract sellers. It's momentum. That's the way it works. So, like I said, who'd have thought in 2017 the S&P 500 could have gone up without a 5% pullback? In any time, when normally it's, you know, it can happen 2-3 times a year on average. But you've always got to look at sort of valuations, of course, because they do inform the market a little bit. So the S&P is trading at a historically high level. And when it's done this previously, then the preceding years have been no returns for like 5 years. So it drops a bit, maybe. And in fact, looking at that, if you look at the big crashes of the great financial crash, .com bubble, it took about 5 years to get back to making a new all-time high. But of course, that's only a worry if you buy the highs. If you were buying the big, you know, dips or scaling in, they can do very well. I've gone off piece a bit here. Today, the AIM oil share is at 792, down 0.15%. What else is there? The small cap in UK is down 0.14% to 7313, and the FTSE 250 is pretty much flat, down 0.07%. Brent crude is at $64.51, so that's rolling over a little bit. The lowest it got to recently was down at $60 a barrel, and that was back in May. And April, it did it in April, bounced back up, came back down in May, that. So we're a little bit off that. But of course, I suppose the play into that is that, Middle East sort of peace is going to help, I suppose, isn't it? Saying that, though, I mean, you know, Israel don't produce any oil, do they? Bitcoin, 121,500. It's down 0.18% today. It did rally, like I said, recently to 126. It's struggling to get over those highs. Saying that, though, it's now settling above. It could settle above the previous highs. Dow Jones yesterday down 0.5%. Government bonds, they're pretty much down. 2-year down 0.5%, 3.99. The 10-year is down 0.72% to 4.7. And the 30-year is down 0.75% to 5.5. A pound will buy you €1.14, buy you $1.32. Oh, it's weakening. The dollar is strengthening a little bit. So that won't help, obviously, gold, Bitcoin, all that stuff. Why is it strengthening? Oh, was there reports of like, there are some worries in the US. I mean, you know, the Mag 7 seem to be doing well, but, you know, labour market is a little worried. There's concerns over inflation as well. So they've conflicted the Fed, you know, because they've got a dual mandate of employment, fullest employment they can get, and stable prices. And of course, if inflation is, you know, right on the rise, and the job market's weak, which way do they go? Do we protect people's jobs, or do we deal with inflation? Because inflation will also affect people's jobs in some way. So, it's not all rosy there. And sometimes, like I said, we are on a huge momentum trade. I see gold coming back to a little bit, maybe dipping below 4,000, then I see a further rally, because you've got, you know, central banks and ETF funds are piling into it right now. So, aren't you a bit late? A bit late for this, really? There we are. Okay, let's look at the microcap database. I made an investment today. I'm going to send it out to the investment club later. It's the first time I've invested in a loss-making stock over probably 2 years, a year, year and a half, 2 years maybe. I'd see it has amazing potential. It's got some risk there. There's some risk attached. In fact, I've written a blog post for it, and it's entitled A High Risk Investment. There we are. So anyway, let's look at the microcap database here. There's no news out today. Again, Friday, nothing. All it is share buybacks, pretty much. There's a one from Premier Miton. I know this. I covered this a while ago on the podcast about, again, this, you know, huge outflows from funds. But Premier Miton, who are sort of, you know, small microcap investor, they've also got... let me just scroll down. They've also got fixed interest bearing loans, but they did a Q4 assets under management update, which is always good to read these, investment fund managers that are listed, their releases, because it gives you a sense of what the market's doing. But we did suspect this because I read out Calastone's report the other day about huge outflows from equities. So they reported, as of the 30th of September. Assets under management, 10.3 billion versus 10.7 billion. So it's gone down there. Last year that was. Strong net inflows into absolute return and fixed income strategies. So people are putting their stuff in, you know, money market funds or fixed income some way. Net outflows of 191 million during the quarter. And so they say, we're encouraged by the fixed income thing, but however, we experienced combined outflows of 347 million from our US and European equity strategies. And that presents a near-term challenge. We remain confident in the long term. What is long term? Is that 10 years? 5 years? What? It's to do with interest rates, isn't it? It's about... Part of why the Americans have rallied is because they've, you know, the Fed's reduced interest rates, and they're making soundings of more interest rate reductions. In this country, we haven't had that so much. You know, they're a bit more cautious. I think if we get a worse job, like I said, the Bank of England, they don't have a dual mandate, so they don't have to think about jobs, but they will come under serious, you know, pressure if the job market weakens. And of course, that affects prices anyway. When there's a slack job market, you're not going to have pay increases and all that stuff. So it will affect that, and that will bring inflation down. So a slowing economy, of course, cures inflation, full stop. Otherwise, you get stagflation, which is not good. You've got to question why gold is rising. It's always that thing, is why is gold? because gold is a safe haven against, you know, inflation, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't believe gold has sort of fortune-telling properties to it. It's just people, once people start chasing the price, it goes up, ETF funds piling into it. That's largely why the Mag 7 has risen as well. You've got a huge amount of these passive income funds that are piling into the Mag 7 because they're rising. And so it just pushes up higher. And that's when it gets, you know, out of kilter with valuations, and it has to correct in some way. But, you know, valuations in the UK are not a question on most companies. Of course, specifically, you have to look at individual companies, but not like they are in America. Okay, let's have a quick look at then last few days. No news today, but Distribution Finance Capital, DFCH, a Q3 trading update they announced at 53 pence a share, market cap of 86 million. Now, they are sort of, you know, a bank's balance sheet, so it's a bit tricky looking at the enterprise value. But nevertheless, you know, what did they say? Let me scroll down here. Comments. Q3 trading update. We enter the final quarter of the year with confidence of achieving full year results in line with market expectations and buoyed by our results so far this year. So they are a specialist bank providing award-winning commercial finance solutions and savings products to consumers of small businesses. That's what they say there. So the final results, 25, no, H1 results, revenue up 14% to 43.3, net profit 6.6 million, up, well, down 2%. But they did state at their H1, as a result of our strong performance, particularly in net interest margin, we expect full-year profit to materially exceed market expectations, with an improvement in market expectations for financial year 26 also anticipated. So let's have a quick look at their forecast here. So for 25, then this year, top line growth of 11% to 85 million, and net profit down 7% to 13.1. Forecast PE of 7, that would be this level. 2026, 98 million top line, up 15%, and 14.2 million of net profit, up 8%, PE of 6. I mean, you've got to look at banks on a net asset value, really. But, you know, it seems to be improving, doing quite well. What's next? In fact, let's have a look at let's go to the Indeed first. So they announced their, a trading update. A trading update for the, by the way, just to let you know what they do at Indeed, a cybersecurity software company specializing in digital identities, and its innovative solutions enable organizations to protect themselves against the number one cause of data breach. Idiots. No. Compromised user credential. Right, anyway, so at 159 a share, market cap at 94 million, enterprise value of 75. What's my comments on this? They say that first half, half-year 2026 trading update, the group expects revenues for H1 to be approximately 8.21 million, down from 854, representing a year-on-year decrease of 3.9% or decrease of 4.2% on a constant currency basis. And, of course, they are exposed to governments, federal departments in America. They sell a lot of their software into that. So they may be, I don't know if they're going to be affected by this shutdown that's happening at the moment. But they say they're confident that Klaus van der Leest, who's the CEO, so they're confident in line with market expectations. Forecast for 26, revenue up 6% to 18.7, net profit down 24% to 3.1. What's the PE here? It's a PE of, forecast PE of 30, EV earnings of 24. So for a single-digit top line and for a contraction in net profit, I wouldn't say that's good value, to be honest. And even on 2027 figures, where they expect to grow top line by 12% and net profit by 6%, they're still on a forecast PE of 29, EV earnings of 23. But that's only, you know, okay, 12% top line growth for 27, so low double-digit and mid-single-digit net profit growth. I don't see that. I mean, they got a high recurring revenue, I expect, but I don't see that as good value, to be honest. So, I mean, growth champions value, but they don't have growth, really. So, you know. Yeah, Secundus Bank was interesting. They are an established, well-funded and capitalised UK retail bank with 72-year trading track record. Secundus Bank operates principally from its head office in Solihull, West Midlands, with 904 employees. So they announce a trading update, was it? Yeah, trading update from them. And let's scroll down here. By the way, market cap, where are they? They got a market cap of 186 million at £10 a share. Okay, so let's scroll down a bit. They said, full year trading update, whilst the board now expects the group's underlying profit before tax for 25 to fall below market expectations by up to £9 million, due to the performance of vehicle finance, it remains confident of circa 30% year-on-year growth in underlying profit before tax. So for next year, revenue of 196 million, down 6%. Net, that was growth there. Net profit up 50% or 57% to 30.9 million. At £10 a share, puts them on a forecast P of 6. So net tangible asset value is 1934. So some decent upside there. So that was contracting due to them exiting the vehicle finance market, which will improve their margins. But the profit, of course, revenue will go down because there's less turnover there. But it improves their margins and return on equity and all that stuff. Brokers reduced target from 2170 to 1970. In some ways, it's a tricky one because even though this is a profit warning, and they've also had to say they've had to put more aside, so underlying arrears and default rates in the, so two areas of concern. Underlying arrears and default rates in the portfolio remain stable but have not improved in H1 2025 to the extent anticipated. Now, this is both in vehicle finance, which they're exiting. And they also say vehicle finance may require additional provisions for onerous supply contracts associated with new business originations, which will be treated as exceptional costs. So, yeah, there's also that FCA ruling, isn't it? So, but they are exiting that part of the business. So it's a tricky one. They're still, you know, they've come in below previously, I think, upgraded forecasts, but they're still relatively cheap. However, you know, this does now sow the seeds of doubt as to whether they are any other nasties hiding within vehicle finance, you know? But nevertheless, I think it's one worth watching because they're not expensive. And once they've exited that vehicle finance sector, they could do well. I'll do one more and I'll cover two companies. I'm going to cover Ramsden's because I didn't cover this the other day. I don't think, did I? A pre-closed trading update. So at 383 a share, 123 million market cap, 116 million enterprise value. So they've got obviously a lot of net cash there. They've got four areas of the business. They are a growing, diversified financial services provider and retailer operating in four core businesses: foreign currency exchange, pawnbroking loans, precious metals, buying and selling and retailing of secondhand jewellery. And of course, gold is very strong here. So let me scroll down. So they said full year 25, profit before tax, slightly ahead of expectations, reflecting further progress across core income streams, as well as the continued benefit of the higher gold price. Upward pressure, the broker says, on estimates more than justifies recent share price strength, especially given ongoing corporate activity in the broader sector. Our target price increases to £4.50 from £3.85. And our forecast revenues are for revenue to be up 20%, 115 million, net profit up 39% to 11.5. At 388 the share, it's PE of 10, EV earnings of 9.10. Good growth, double digits, both double digits, and literally a PE of 10. What I would say with Ramsden's, people, some say, oh, it's, you know, it won't go much more for this valuation wise. Yes, it will. Growth. First and foremost, it's not expensive. It's quite cheap for that type of growth. Double-digit top-line and bottom-line growth on a PE 10. Find another company like that out there. Go on, find one. I'll wait. In fact, while you're doing that, so they announced also, which is very interesting. Now, they had problems, and not so much. They said the budget last year, Stimmeet, stopped them acquiring stores because people went to stasis pretty much, you know, stagnation. And that's the problem Rachel Reeves is doing again. People are worrying about the budget, and they put investment or big plans on hold. And so they couldn't really acquire any stores. And normally they did between 5-10 stores a year. But they stated quite confidently they're going to be doing 8-12 stores a year. This is where they get the growth from and the operational gearing. So at 10 stores a year, it's an extra revenue of about £5 million top line. Net profit margin is about 10%, okay? So that's 500K a year from 10 stores. Profit, net profit, clean profit. So you put that on a PE of 10, that's about 5 million added to the market cap a year. That's where growth comes from. They also do not need high gold prices because they always get a margin. It doesn't matter what, you know, the price is. They always get a margin selling it or buying it. It doesn't matter. I mean, gold has helped them due to the increased awareness, you know, due to adverts on radio or whatever, or you see the gold price all-time high on news. So more people transacting gold, which has helped them, you know, very much. But they don't need that. They've got four parts of the business which are all doing very well. And I'll give you an example. You know, right now, of course, everyone's talking about gold. So I'll go back as far as 2016. Of course, there's been dips and rallies in gold. But their revenue from 2016 has increased by 263%, their revenue. So in less than 9 years, 263%. Their profit has increased by 555%. So their profit has increased at twice the rate of their revenue. Now, this is about operational efficiency, you know, economies of scale. And it'll continue to happen. They'll continue to perform. People may think, oh, gold's going down, I'll sell Ramsden's. But, okay, any buyers will buy it cheaper, that's all. They continue to knock it out of the park, you know, for over 10 years, pretty much. Regardless of where the gold price is. Now, that's different to owning a gold miner or gold operator or producer because they will take their fixed costs on gold, of course, and they will take a knock on gold. Whereas Ramsden's, wherever they sell it, they get a margin, same kind of margin. Whereas gold price goes down, then gold miners, their fixed costs, obviously, the margin gets thinner. So that's why they're more leveraged. So they may rise when gold price rises, they also fall faster. When gold price comes down. So, you know, if there's any dip in gold price and Ramsden's dips, it's an opportunity. So they've always improved, regardless of where the gold price has gone. Full stop. And you've got to understand, they've got a lot of jewellery in there, and gold. So the value of that has gone up. So net asset value goes up. One other thing I'm going to talk about is Beaks. I did cover this thing in the week. I don't know what I have, but I watched Gordon on IMC, and we've also had a quick chat on LinkedIn. I think Beaks is still a phenomenal company. I think people are not, they're looking at the worries and not seeing what's happening here with Beaks. And the big worry, let's get out of the way, as Gordon said, the elephant in the room is NASDAQ, pretty much. It's financially not significant to the company. There's no, in the forecast, it doesn't matter. Yes, it was a good bit of marketing, PR, some of the biggest exchanges. And I think Gordon on the website said that there's some corporate sort of pressure or politics going on in the background. There was a company listed on the NASDAQ to say they weren't happy with the relationship Beaks had with NASDAQ, which says a lot to me. You know, if Beaks wasn't significant, they wouldn't be worried. They don't have this relationship with any other exchange, you know. So in America, obviously, they have kind of a bit of a pressure. So I think that's quite good. I think probably one of those companies who was involved in there will know that Beaks is getting traction in their market. They probably get bought out by that. Anyway, it's not significant. They're on 20K a month from NASDAQ. You know, it wasn't a big deal. It didn't even really start it. And like I said, Gordon said, if you look at every other exchange, there was big, you know, ceremonial sort of openings of Beaks, and they're on stage there. That didn't happen in NASDAQ, so it never was celebrated, and it was touch and go from the start. Anyway, Beaks have said they have four exchange cloud contracts in late stage So they'll probably come online 3 to 6 months. And then you see, obviously, revenue share ramp up over the next 12 months after that. So they take a while to come online. But there's huge potential of these deals. And I'll give you an example of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, or the JSC. When they signed with Beeks in June 2023, the contract with JSC was worth between 2 and 5 million. That's what they estimated at. It's now worth between 15 and 20 million. This is the definition of land and expand. So it's become 4 to 5 times bigger than initially expected. And not only that now, the JSC himself wants to use parts of Beeks within internal operations, and asset managers who have operations elsewhere in the world asking to use Beeks' technology, co-location service, at other venues across the world. So you can see it's going to be huge. So you imagine there's 4 exchange contracts expanding like that. So 4 to 5 times has become bigger, JSE. So you're looking at 4 contracts expanding 4 or 5 times. You know, and not only that, they've also given, you know, very positive soundings about the Market Edge, which is a software AI analytics platform, which will help with all kinds of things. But they said there's some interesting conversations going on with big PLCs. They're testing it, and they're getting good feedback on it. And so there could be some announcements there. And, of course, with software, margins are a lot higher. But, you know, if you just go back, it's not about the story, just the story here, and having, you know, exchanges come to them now rather than them having to sell to exchanges. They are becoming the go-to. If you look at Beeks' fundamentals, financials, they are exceptional. I did a blog post a while back called 7 Traits of 7-10 Baggers. These are companies, minimum return, 1,000%. And these are profitable, you know, revenue-generating companies. And over the periods recorded, you know, different companies, I looked at different time frames because it was based on a certain, you know, metric I looked at. But some of them went up to 15 years. I went back, I looked at them, studied them. Now, 90% of these 7-10 baggers had revenue growth. That was one of the traits, okay? And they had revenue growth for 90% of the period I recorded. So, but 0 to 15 years, pretty much. 90% revenue growth. 73% of them had double-digit revenue growth for that period of time. So that's quite good, isn't it? 73% of the years recorded for 0 to 15 years in some cases, 73% of that time they had double-digit revenue growth. Beeks has achieved double-digit revenue growth 100% of the time for the last 10 years. And they're forecast to continue to do that next year. That's even before, you know, the exchange clouds take off. And just to explain, you know, they are at like 70-odd, 80% recurring revenue, Beeks. Much of that revenue comes from private cloud, 71% of it. Proximity cloud around about 24%, which doubled. So that's getting bigger. That was launched later than private cloud. And only 5%, which increased a lot, comes from exchange cloud. 5% comes from exchange cloud. That'll get bigger and bigger because the contracts are bigger over time. But it takes a while for them to onboard that. So you can see why the NASDAQ wasn't significant, because it literally only 5% recurring revenue, and of that, that was tiny. But going forward, that exchange cloud recurring revenue will increase significantly. So private cloud, lots of smaller clients. Proximity cloud, so mid-sized clients, less in number. And then exchange, you don't need a lot of big clients to make a big difference, because the contract value is about 10, 15 times bigger than the private cloud. So going forward, I think it's one to look at on a fundamental basis if you like growth, you know, and if you, and going forward, I mean, then I think forecast PE of 23, 20 or 26 for next year, for 10 years of growth, double digit, that's not expensive. And I do believe it'll just get better with Beeks. I mean, it's worth looking at, you know. And if you question value, I mean, fair enough, if the share price goes sideways for like 2 years, it'll become cheap, won't it? Because the earnings are going up. So the E from the PE grows, the P stays the same. That'll come down. But I don't ever believe this company will get, you know, cheap, as in sub 20 PE. because it's an exceptional company with growth. And I said, I've mentioned many companies on this podcast that have high PE, but they're doing double-digit top line, bottom line. I said, well, you've got to pay for quality companies at that because they're very rare. They don't come around very often. It's like, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to buy a car. What's the price of a car? Well, it depends, doesn't it? Depends what car you buy. What are you buying? If you're buying a Ferrari, it costs more than sort of a Mini Metro. Well, horses for courses, swings and roundabouts, whatever it is, ups and downs, hedgehogs and squirrels. Anyway, that's it for the podcast. I've been banging on long enough. I don't think I've got anything more to say, to be honest. I must get back to that email about deleting my photos. I don't want that to happen, and it's going to happen within 24 hours. Anything else? Oh, don't forget, you can get membership to the Shapeacres Investment Club for literally £2.88 a week. And that is 40% cheaper than a McDonald's filet. Okay? Just go there to shapeacres.com and claim your 40% off. And we'll all be happy members. Anyway, thanks so much for that. Have a nice weekend, and I hope you to speak next weekie. And thank you for listening. If you do listen to the podcast, you get any benefit from it or any value, because it's free to listen to. If you could pay that back with a bit of your time by giving me a 5-star rating and review on the podcast platform of your choice, then it would be much appreciated, honestly. Thanks a lot, and speak to you next week. Have a cracking weekend.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.